case, which is United States v. Wilder. Ms. Christensen.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Joanna Christensen. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. I represent the appellant, Darren Wilder, in this matter. No matter how much I would love to jump into the fray of Booker immediately, I do need to address the first two issues that Mr. Wilder raised on appeal, both of which the government has conceded, the first issue being the credit that Mr. Wilder should have received under 5G1.3b. The government has conceded that the district court, in fact, everybody that was at both sentencing hearings was confused about the way that section operated. And the only issue that we have not agreed upon is exactly when the calculation should have ended. The government seems to believe that 24 months is appropriate, whereas my calculations are 25 months. That's based on the sentencing that occurred in June, second sentencing hearing in June of 2003, rather than the first one in May. June of 2003.
This is the corrected sentence on June the 3rd that you.
June the 4th
that you're
right.
Arguing.
Right.
Is the date from which all these adjustments run.
Correct, Your Honor. And the reason for that is that that is the day the sentence was actually imposed that he is currently serving. It also is one of the dates on the judgment form. I think the judgment form, unfortunately, gives two dates. And the first date is the first sentencing hearing. The district court signed it on the second date, which was the second sentencing hearing, which was June 4th. As far as the second issue, it's a rather small issue that has a major effect on Mr. Wilder. Simply by leaving out the word concurrent on the judgment form, the Bureau of Prisons has interpreted it as consecutive, therefore precluding him from getting credit from the time of his sentencing to the date he finished, at the time of his federal sentencing, to the date he finished serving his state sentence, which was actually in October of 2003.
Well, but the government is agreeing with you.
The government is agreeing with that.
So why are you arguing it?
I'm just bringing it to the court's attention unless the court has any questions.
Well, it's in the briefs.
And because of those two issues, and the government has conceded those two issues, it's my first argument that this court need not reach the Booker issue that I have raised in the opening brief, because this case will be going back for resentencing anyway, and Mr. Wilder will now be resentenced under the United States versus Booker case by simple fact of timing. Therefore, I don't believe that the court needs to address the issues raised by Mr. Wilder in that portion of his brief and leave that to the district court to do so on remand.
But why should we do that if we think it's clear that the armed career criminal argument is unaffected by Booker? I mean, shouldn't we just take that off the district judge's shoulders and say Almendarez-Torres is still good law?
Your Honor,
that's what we think.
I think, when I raised the issue, it was after Blakely, before Booker, as so many of these cases are. And I don't think that the way I raised it
doesn't make any difference. Supreme Court has been emphatic. We're not supposed to overrule Supreme Court decisions.
Correct, Your Honor. And I agree with you about the armed career criminal statute.
So that part, we can make it
right.
Clear as off
I
the
have,
table. And it's for the
right.
rest of it, to the extent yeah. there is a rest of it.
What's
I think.
The rest?
I'm sorry? Oh,
what's the rest?
That is preserved for Supreme Court review. I don't think the court needs to do anything with it. The rest of it is what was discussed in the last argument about cases that perhaps there is no Sixth Amendment violation, whether those should be remanded for resentencing. I think there are going to be arguments about that, where there is no Sixth Amendment violation, as there is in this case.
Have you presented such an argument here?
I presented that argument partially in my supplemental brief.
So, but aren't you arguing about the extra year? I mean, there's an extra year that the district court tagged on, correct?
Essentially, yes. Yes. And it is our position that because it's going back for resentencing, the district court now has discretion to look at the guideline range, which is truncated by the mandatory minimum of the armed career criminal. But she may decide, given all the factors that she now can consider, that the appropriate starting point for the credit is lower than it was before.
Okay, thanks very much, Ms. Richardson. Ms. Reuter?
May it please the court, I'm Julie Reuter from the U.S. Attorney's Office. As to the Section 5G1.3B issue, May 7, 2003 is the date that was shown on the district court docket as the date of the judgment.
But the judge changed the sentence on June the 3rd. So, I mean, when we're figuring out what the actual sentence is, why don't we look at what the judge thought the sentence was on the last date when the judge was speaking to that issue?
Because the actual district court docket judge does, and they must have amended that after that date, but the actual district court docket shows that the 180-month sentence, which is the amended sentence, was entered as of May 7, 2003. That is the date that the Bureau of Prisons will use in calculating the defendant's credit.
But given the confusion
I don't
on this,
that.
So you're saying that that May date is the date, not the June date?
It is, Judge. That's correct. And although it is outside the record, the government has investigated that with the Bureau of Prisons, and that is the date, the May 7, 2003 date is the date that they are using to calculate the judgment. As to the remaining credit, as the defendant agrees, that will be an adjustment made as an administrative matter by the Bureau of Prisons.
Well, so one way or the other, though, he's going to have to, maybe the Bureau of Prisons will give him the credit for that month and not this 5G1.3 adjustment.
Yes.
Does it actually make any difference in the final day, the final sentence?
The only difference, Judge, is that if
she's eligible,
if the district court, if the Bureau of Prisons is not permitted to make the adjustment, then the district court needs
right,
to.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So either the district court makes the adjustment for the state time up to June 3rd and BOP makes the adjustment beyond that, or the district court makes the adjustment to May 7 and BOP picks up. So, but is the final analysis, it's the same, right?
That's correct, Judge.
Okay.
What is the scope of the remand?
The government asked that the scope of the remand be limited to correcting the judgment to impose a 168-month sentence that should run concurrent with the state court sentence.
Because that's what gives us 180, but I thought the 180 is actually a statutory minimum. Is that correct for the
armed
career criminal? So there's no amount of, there's no discretion that Booker creates.
Well, that's it's something of a coincidence, Judge. The actual sentence that the district court imposed was 192 months, and the judge was deducting 12 months as a matter of 5G1.3B. So the judge was already sentencing the defendant 24 months over what would have been the low end of the guidelines.
Okay, so there is still some play in the joint. So why shouldn't the remand allow the judge to think about, within the constraints of the statutory minimum, allow the judge to consider the credit there once we're remanding? Because the judge might not have imposed 192 months.
Well, the judge had a sentencing guideline range of 192 months was in the middle of the range.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. We don't know in the post-Booker world whether the judge would have gone down to the statutory minimum and then started making these adjustments for state time because we've already ruled that the point is the 180 months. It doesn't matter how it's created.
Well, under United States versus Ross, if the mandatory minimum sentence was 180 months, but if under 5G1.3 the court had concluded that it needed to subtract from that in order to account for state time, the court could have and should have done that.
Exactly right. So the post-adjustment sentence might be lower now that we're not starting from 192.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think we should conclude that, Judge.
Well, it could be. Why can't we conclude that it might be? It might not be, but it might be.
At the time that this court imposed sentence, it had a guideline range where 192 months was in the middle. It had
I
to
impose
that.
You're not answering your question.
I understand that.
Will the judge have the power to reduce, fix a lower sentence?
The court could. We are asking that the Seventh Circuit limit the remand so that all the judge does is correct the errors that were made below and not resentence the defendant.
Yeah, but the court has to give the 180. We agree on that, right?
Yes,
as a mandatory, the court has to give that as a mandatory sentence. But this play of 12 months, so the play of 12 months, this 192 months, it should go back to the court to make a determination on that. Whether that should be added or not.
Because this case is still alive, right, in that sense. I mean, if we're sending it back for resentencing, there's no good argument for saying that we're going to preclude the district court from taking Booker into account.
Doesn't Booker govern all sentencing after Booker was decided?
It does govern. And if so,
it does. Okay. So then the resentencing, the judge will be guided by, you know, the Breyer opinion, right?
Yes.
And so he might decide, I mean, she might decide, 180 months minus 12, 168, right? That's possible.
Yes, it is, Judge. Actually, yeah. Right.
But
minus the 24.
Minus what he's already done. Right. The time served.
The judge could so decide. Right. Yes.
Okay.
So and you have no quarrel with that. That's what the judge can do. Right.
I agree with that, Judge.
Okay. Then there's no disagreement between them.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Ms.
Thank you very much.
So, Ms. Christensen, do you have anything further? Are you in agreement now, the two of you?
Your Honors, I have nothing to add to what you have said, unless you have any specific questions for me. I do not have anything further.
Good move.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for both counsel. The next case for